Asymmetric multiplayer?
Aims, yes, thank you. Asymmetric multiplayer.
Asymmetric multiplayers.
Aim symmetric multiplayer. Multiple deep strikes.
Multipass. All right, right. Break it off.
No, it's so it says it's an HD re-release.
Well,
welcome back, everybody.
It's Sitsock. We're mad about video games.
This is Kendrick. I'm Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
This is Joe.
And Kevin.
I'm still Kendrick.
No, the one and only, always. I don't think it's a remaster. I think
so
they just
Star Wars Pod Racer for the Switch just came out.
Yep.
Hideous.
PS4
early era N64 graphics.
It is a re-release of the N64, and it is a re-release. I think technically they could call it an HD remaster because the original was set for a 4x3 screen.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so as long as you just make the screen the right size, it's an HD remaster.
Height.
Yeah. So it's widescreen now. It's totally widescreen.
Really super fun still, though, by the way. Like, if you love that game, it's like $15, and it's great. It's one of the greatest, I think it's one of the greatest 64 games.
I played the dick off of it.
Yeah, no. Since this came out, I've played the dick off of it. It's been so much fun.
I'm glad you guys are enjoying that.
I'm going to buy the new one
when I remember to.
And it's, I don't know.
The HD remaster?
Yeah, this new one.
I haven't played it yet. I played the original one, I should say. I played the N64 one I played the dick off of.
It was one of those games that back in the day we didn't have a lot of money to buy games, so we would go to Radio Shack and rent one for like 3 days.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
We'd just rent the hell out of that one. Oh,
I remember buying the old ones that they would sell at the Radio Shack, not Radio Shack, but at the Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. Like, those were brands that mattered.
I'm pretty sure all these stores are out of service now.
Yes.
Yeah.
They
Radio
all
Shack,
did.
Blockbuster, and they're all gone. there might be a couple of Radio Shacks kicking around still because they sold off. Like, they gave people the chance to use the name. But
right. Yeah. They're self-owned. They're like.
But no, I remember playing that one. I remember getting like silver and or like bronze and then silver, and I want to say gold on like every race up to a certain point. Oh, it was so much fun.
For a second, I thought you were trying to talk about Pokemon games you got also, and I was like, there's no bronze? Is that like gold and silver, and then there's like Pokemon bronze, which is like the Pokemon yellow?
It's the SD remake of gold.
What, trading them back and forth through rentals, that was basically how you put your... Like how you competed in the arcade, like you would put your name in the like on a high score and everything, and then you'd rent it back a couple of days after somebody else got it, and then you'd pick it up and you'd see somebody else took your spot, and you're like, I'm gonna get that guy.
Oh no, you don't.
I mean, I never had that. That's cool.
Did you guys ever use GameFly?
I did.
Yeah. You did?
Huh. When I was living in Aurora. Yeah. My brother had an account. It was actually. It was actually really cool.
I mean, you guys, for not the Joe people, do you two know what GameFly was?
I do. How about you tell us what GameFly is for our listener at home?
I mean, Joe could probably tell you better, because I think I used it, but it was like, it was so long ago. Yeah, Joe, like, because you rent games and they send them to you like Netflix used to, as far as I remember, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was kind of the video game corollary of Netflix when Netflix first started, and they were less focused on their streaming applications, and they were replacing Blockbuster as the DVD rental, only there was no like brick and mortar, they just did everything online. So you would like
send not a you DVDs. They would send you DVDs over and over again. That was the original Netflix.
So GameFly
did not have streaming, for the record. It never started streaming.
So oh, that's right.
Like, it was way back later. When they,
see,
but
by the time I got into Netflix, that was like it had already started shifting over to that, and DVDs was like the
sign. They realized
thing.
How good it was, and as a small aside, they actually tried to spin their DVD rental service out as another company. The name eludes me at this time. Future Kendrick will go ahead and put it somewhere in here. There's a little gap for him to say it now.
It was called Quickster. Stupid ass name.
Farts. But that of course it was something farts. But no, so they did that, and they got such backlash that they had to roll the whole process back. They probably still have the name registered somewhere. But yeah, I believe at the time
they charged extra. They were like, here, you can have our streaming service, but if you want DVDs delivered, you could pay like $3 extra for one a month.
Do they not do that anymore? I don't know if they even do.
I think they finished it. I think they stopped. Okay.
That wouldn't surprise me. I wonder where all those DVDs went. Like, imagine Red getting Box. Your hands on the place that those were.
Yeah, like,
I'd willing to bet that Red Box probably just took all of them. They're like the only DVD rental place anymore.
I have another weird video game reference thing that I want to know if you guys ever experienced, because I did once, and it was like the coolest thing for my kid brain. Have you ever heard of Sega Channel?
The Sega Channel?
Sega Channel. Okay, so as far as I remember, and again, this is my like my 10-year-old memory or something, right? Sega Channel was a like cable-based like Sega streaming thing, where you like had a like box that you'd get, I guess, or something, and you'd had to like pay for Sega Channel, but it had like games on it you could play, but it wasn't just one game, right? It was a bunch of games. It was like
So what's funny about that is that actually goes back all the way to the Super Nintendo, and I think that was briefly on the Nintendo or the Famicom. And they actually did broadcast. They broadcast games on the TV like Spectrum, and they broadcast games at certain times, and your game system would download it, and then you could play along for a certain amount of time. And then after that time, the game stopped existing. There was a Legend of Zelda, I think, game that only existed on this. And as far as anyone can tell, all of the code, all of the original game is gone. So it only existed for people during that time if they had that subscription service and if they turned on their game and played it from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Thursdays or whatever it was.
What was this?
Also, if you lived in Japan, because it never came to America.
I can go look it up for a little bit, but I don't want to derail too much here.
So for that Sega thing, was there like an adapter you had to buy for like the Genesis?
Yeah, so I'm reading it right now. So it says here, I'll read you this and you guys can do with it what you will. After you make the initial purchase and pay your activation fee, you'd receive an adapter that would be installed into the cartridge slot. The adapter connects to the console to a cable television coaxial cable and the rear output of the cartridge. Starting up the Sega would activate the Sega Channel adapter installed, and the Sega Channel adapter installed would prompt for the service main menu, which is a process that took approximately 30 seconds. From there, the games could access the content. The gamers could access the content they wish to play and download it into the system, which would take a few minutes per game. The data would be downloaded to the adapter's onboard 4 megabyte RAM and would be erased when the system was powered off. It's fucking nuts! That was in '94.
So, the Nintendo one was Satellaview, Satellaview. LINSDEN. And it was a satellite modem peripheral for the Super Famicom, 1995. And it attached to the bottom of the Super Famicom, looked super goofy, as most of those things did. In case anyone ever looked at the bottom of a Super Nintendo or Super Famicom, there were like extender ports on there. But basically, this thing allowed you to download certain special video games at certain times of day. It's very weird. I'll post a link to it because it's pretty cray-cray. And then one other note I have to do as a follow-up. The Netflix DVDs still exist. They rebranded to DVD.com, despite the URL actually being DVD.netflix.com. And it just looks like regular Netflix, but it's exactly the same thing. They have Blu-rays. They have DVDs. And it looks like the exact same thing they've been doing for $8 a month.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Apparently, the Sega Channel would update the games that you could get every month, and they would send it on a CD-ROM to TSI satellite station in Denver. So Denver, Colorado was the hub for the Sega Channel thing.
That's funny.
Whoa! Isn't that crazy? Fucking
that's crazy!
FaceTime.
That is cool.
Dude, that's so cool, though. I mean, think about that. Like, I know I always found this, like, incredibly fun. Like, that... And I don't know why, because, I mean, it's just technology, so it always happens. But the fact that, like, in the 90s, like, they were already doing shit that we, like, do today every day. Like, this is basically, like, the equivalent of, like, a very, very, like, primitive, like, Steam or something, right? Where, like, you're downloading the game, you can use it locally, but it's got a little bit of, little bit of DRM on it, you know, that kind of conflicts you from using it outside of Steam itself, blah, blah, blah. But that Sega was doing that, Nintendo was doing that, and then Sega, was one of, the first consoles, or Sega Dreamcast was, one of the first consoles to do, fully online gaming with other people. I guess you could do it on the PS2 as well, but I don't know. Maybe not the first console. It's the first one I played, but I thought it was so cool when I was a kid. I was like, man, I'm playing games online with people that I don't know.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And it goes so much farther back than you think. That's the part that blows my mind, right? You think now, oh, yeah, it does this. But, these technologies, like you said, go way far back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Dreamcast had online play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
the PS2 did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That era had online play, which is crazy.
But the Dreamcast was a contemporary with the PlayStation 1, wasn't it?
I don't know.
1999?
So. Yeah. I think that was right around then.
99? It was only 10 years after Sega Channel? Damn.
Well, yeah, really got me.
Maybe
you're
Dreamcast
right.
Was 98, yeah. Oh, no, and then, yeah, North America in 99, so.
Yeah.
I fucking loved the Dreamcast.
It was only a little bit later than the PS1 came out. I think before PS2.
Yeah, PS2 was 2002. Or 2000, sorry, 2000.
Yeah, you're right. It was a 2000.
Yeah, so the Dreamcast was the first I remember because I saw them advertise it, and I was like, that's cool. And it was but only two games did it. And it was yeah, I don't know. I bought a Dreamcast when they were going out of business for, $50, and a bunch of cool games. That was a sick system, by the way.
Yeah, agreed. The Dreamcast was my favorite. I mean, that one, I didn't even play Sonic Adventure as much as I played the Chow game or the Tao game that you could play
yeah.
on the little thing.
Yes.
I loved those things.
That
man.
Was so cool, the yeah. little memory unit.
Thing. Yeah, which was a game, a small Game Boy by itself, if I remember mm-hmm. right. Because right? you could remove it, and it did its own thing.
It had a little screen and buttons. It was a legit little mini Game Boy.
And it was the first console that had, for memory cards, it had the memory cards in the controller, like the N64, yep. but it had two slots. So you could have, multiple memory things in the same thing. I played my first MMO on that, which was Phantasy Star Online, which you get online and play people
that
with.
That was one of the first and only games that used the actual modem on the thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then there was a really sick game. It was a robot fighting game called Virtual On. You guys remember that?
Oh,
that
I remember Virtual
awesome.
On. Yeah.
Well, and Power
or
Stone.
Or Power Stone? Oh, my God.
Fucking
I knew
Power Stone.
Power Stone was my favorite fighting game ever.
Stupid fun.
Ever.
Stupid fun.
Super destructible environments. It was more like a, kind of like an, what is it, like a hack and slashy fighter game where mm-hmm. you do lots of cool fighter stuff, but the area is 3D, right?
And
you can run around.
You're wrecking it as you
yeah.
go, you're destroying it.
Oh, I remember that. It was kind of like Dreamcast's answer to Smash Bros, but it wasn't, I don't know if there's many players.
But it predated Smash Bros,
no,
didn't it?
No, 96 was the 64, so at least the 64 came out. I don't know when
99?
Smash came out.
It was 98 or 99, I think.
I think
it was post Star Fox, which was 94? No.
99 was Super Smash Bros. 99. So, yeah.
The original,
Power Stone was before that.
98 is Star Fox.
Having the ability to Google this shit kind of ruins part of the fun of Sin Sack, I'm not going to lie. I mean,
I'm still doing everything for my stupid brain.
Yeah.
Power Stones came out a month after.
So it wasn't. I mean, it. Yeah. So. But still. Stupid fun.
Yeah.
Stupid fun game. Beautiful aesthetic. Excellent use of the limited graphics at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So I would go dig up an emulator for that if I could find the thing.
If I could one game that they could bring back from that era, would be if they could redo, and maybe they kind of had
Dino
with the
Crisis.
New, no. The Resident Evil Outbreak series. 1 and 2.
I don't remember that.
Is that
no,
was
that
the shooter, the train line shooter one?
No. It was actually it was supposed to use the multiplayer functionality of it. It was supposed to be an online game, and that they kind of introduced the game about the time that the online service for that, for the PlayStation Play, was moving to PS3. So it was way too late in the game for them to really utilize it. But you had a bunch of just random characters that you would select, and you played out events in between portions of the main Resident Evil storyline. The first level in the first game is a bunch of people in the bar that that Claire meets Leon in the beginning of Resident Evil 2 as it's getting attacked by zombies. And you'd have a team of four, and every character had like a unique ability. Like there was one character who had a backpack, and she was very, like, she was faster than everybody, so she could collect more items, and you had to, like, share them out with everybody. And the one guy started with a gun, one guy was a plumber, so he had, like, a tool set and some tape, which means you can make any sort of weapon you want in video game logic, especially Resident Evil zombie games.
Tapes. Yep.
Yeah.
It's tape.
tape and tool noises. But the best part is if you played online, you had a counter on like the bottom left of your screen, right? And it was your infection level. So the more times you got attacked and took damage and healed, that would start to count up. And it was like a percentage, right? And it was this little like petri dish of cells, and they're getting more erratic and like redder the more damage you take. Once it gets to 100%, you would die. If you're playing by yourself, that was it. If you're playing online, you turned into a zombie, and now your goal was to kill the other players.
Interesting.
And the thing is, like, you didn't look like a zombie if you were standing still. As soon as you started moving, it would do like the shuffle walk with their hands outstretched, then that classic Resident Evil style, and you did like a little more damage, and you were harder to put down than a regular zombie. But you would like, you'd run up to like one of your friends, and he'd like be down a hallway, and he'd be like standing there, kind of looking at stuff. And you're like, oh shit! Like,
so it's like crazy.
Friend of foe.
Left for dead, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. Kind of.
Oh, please tell me there was friendly fire involved too.
Yeah.
That would be cool. There was.
Well, so like you couldn't damage them if they weren't a zombie. Like you can't actually hurt each other.
Okay.
But, like ammo and weaponry was so like stuff breaks. All your melee weapons break. There's no ammo anywhere. So
you're
it's
not using TF2 rules for identifying friends.
Yeah, no, you're not setting. Yeah, you're not flaming the NG to make sure he's not a spy. Like you got to be careful about that. And then like and yeah, like they had this whole series, and it's almost impossible to play by yourself because you need the like if you're playing online. You have all these other people, but if you didn't have enough players, all the other three characters would be bots. And their bots were worse than the first Left 4 Dead bots. Like, they just had no idea what was going on. Like, you had to, like, stop them to do stuff. There were really cool mechanics, really great ideas. Doors weren't necessarily a complete barrier. This was one thing. I'll stop rambling about it after this, but, like, zombies would break through doors. But what you could do is you could run up to it, and instead of acting, like pushing the action button to open it, you could actually push up against it and reinforce it. So if you were getting like swarmed by zombies and you had like a huge crowd following you, one of your guys could stay back there and like hold the door while the rest of your team searched for items and found the stuff. And then you
hold the door.
Got the hell out of there while and as soon as he left, the door would break down. And they'd be in there. It's cool stuff like that. Yeah, it was like, it's great game, great ideas, worst time to do it.
It happens.
Because it's just like, yeah, the console killed it. And then with the Resident Evil 3 remake that just came out, there's another game. It's like, it's not Revelations, but I keep wanting to call it that. It's another one of the series. But like, it's on that same concept, though. Like the team, but there's like it's kind of a what do you call it, what was Evolve, like that offset
asymmetric multiplayer
aims, yes, thank you, asymmetric multiplayer,
asymmetric
so,
multiplayers
aim symmetric multiplayer, multiple deep strikes,
multipass, right, but, right break yeah. It off,
but yeah, so they like they kind of took that same concept. You're four characters trying to escape a facility, but there's a fifth player who's acting as the director, and you're like spawning enemies and setting traps and preventing them from going through. So I just like, that's kind of it, but not quite. And I just kind of want, like, it would be perfect to move that onto Steam. It'd be so easy to do. I just wonder like what the actual connection interface. Well, I mean, shit. We had the same discussion when we were talking about putting Command Conquer back there, and they did that.
They did.
So have
that's my rant.
Played the Resident Evil games, like majority of them, or had experience with them at all?
Never played one once. I know what they're about.
Were you not there the day where we were? You probably weren't there. Why am I asking you that? Okay. I was going to ask how people feel like the progression is gone over the Resident Evil games, but if not everybody's played them, it's kind of a mute conversation.
I think I'm the only one who hasn't.
I don't think Kevin has.
No, I played Kevin.
I'm utterly obsessed with them, clearly. So.
Oh, we know. Okay. Kevin,
I know I got that, too.
I played two back in the day, like on N64. I played through that one, and I may have played maybe five. For like an hour or two, like,
I kind of feel like what Resident Evil is doing with their games is kind of interesting because I don't dwell on this since you guys haven't played it, but like basically the remakes, but they're doing like way more robust remakes, like what Final Fantasy is doing, right? Like a full on like
redo the whole game. They completely rebuild the game, reusing the story elements and the characters, but often completely changing entire gameplay mechanics from what I've seen.
Yeah, which I think is a cool way to go about it, honestly.
In some ways, no. And I can elaborate on that, because I picked up 2 and 3 for the remakes. But there's some interesting corollaries that you bring that up. Are we at time, though? It's like 20 minutes.
Like 20 minutes.
How long are you going to rant?
I'll rant for as long as you guys want me to, or as short as
you... Can you rant for 3 more minutes? Is that
I can. I'd be happy to if you guys want me to.
Fucking rant for 3 more minutes. I'm just
okay. So here's the thing: Resident Evil 2 was they took the over the shoulder style that was introduced in Resident Evil 4, and then carried on all the way up until 7, which is first person. So they kind of moved back to
Biohazard,
that portion.
That's the one where like the VR came in and stuff, right?
Right. Okay. They kept most of the core mechanics in the same way, aside from that, like, the camera is still there. They changed the way that zombies work in the way. Zombies are much harder to actually put down in the game because they'll come back. You're never generally sure a zombie is actually dead because the corpses are almost always there. But there will be times where you come back to an area where you killed every zombie in the room, and they'll get the fuck back up. So that kind of changed the element of, like, instead of having letting the way that the level design and static camera work, which is a lot of how they maintained the fear and unexpected behavior element in the originals, was like using the level to actually bring dread. You had static camera and tank controls, right? So you'd be moving through certain areas. The camera would change when you hit a certain point, but you could always hear what was around you. So you'd start at the end of a very long hall where you're looking down at your character, and you'd hear zombie shuffling noises and moans. That brings in the set
like,
of unease.
I gotta turn this off. I'm my yeah.
And you're like, no, I don't want to go down this hallway, but I have to. It's the only place I haven't gone. So.
I just remember the scene. I remember that being the most scary is in 2, where you're going through the interrogation rooms, and like you're in one of the rooms doing something, and you get too close to the window, and it just busts through, and there's like a creeper thing.
Yeah,
and
liquor busts through the window.
Living ass out of me.
Yeah,
like more scared than I've ever been. Even well, besides playing Dead Space, it's like one of the most scared I've ever been playing a video game.
Oh yeah,
yep, those good times.
Oh dude, yeah. yes, but So with that, they did kind of, but they kept a lot of the other actual elements the same. One of the things that they changed for the worse, in my opinion, is that in the original games, you played 2 discs. One was Claire, one was Leon. When you completed one character's mission, you put the other disc in and you played the other half of what they were doing because they get split up right at the very beginning.
And they intercross, right?
Yeah. What's that?
They intercross with each other, like you.
Yes,
cross back and forth.
But you take
the storyline.
Different areas and you run back into each other at certain points. And there's things that you run into and do in the game where the scenario hasn't changed yet because Leon hasn't been there. So like you can't go to this part of the area because Leon hasn't cleared the wreckage yet. So you have to do all this other stuff that triggers the timeline on the other one that you've already gone through. Then you can go through that area, that sort of thing.
Wait, in the original game?
In the original game, yeah.
Yeah.
So you would switch discs a bunch?
No. So like, it would basically, if you had two copies of two PS2s and you played both discs simultaneously, right? And you did Leon's A game on one and Leon and Claire's B game on the other. The timing would be about similar, where the points that they intersected when it would be about the same point, right?
Okay.
They fucked that up.
They fit both of those versions on the N64 cartridge.
Right?
Suck it, PlayStation.
It was only one.
Yeah. But
because I played both
versions.
Joe
finish. Why did they fuck it up? That's the last thing you
they
get to say.
They fucked it up. So one of the core things about the B game that the whole thing was, like, when you're playing through Claire's B game or Leon's B game, Mr. X gets introduced in that. He's the big, tall, fedora-wearing dude who's a tyrant, and he's chasing you throughout the facility. That occurs in the B game. In the remake, he shows up in the A game. But the way that he gets introduced in both versions, in both A and B, and in the same method and cutscene, the timing doesn't make any sense. Hmm. Like, when you're playing as Claire, I did it Claire and then Leon, right? I played through Claire, and the first hour of the game, I'm running through the area, the police precinct, doing all this stuff, and then I get to a point where you meet up with Leon again, and then he gets attacked by zombies, and you leave. When you play Leon's B game, that happens in 5 minutes. And you're like, well, but she was, like, I was doing all kinds of shit. Like, all kinds of other shit happened before this. And then...
Okay, so they didn't line it up the right way.
Right, but not only that, when I say that they fucked up the Mr. X introduction, when you're playing as Leon, there's a helicopter crashed into the side of the building. You run up to it on one side, and it gets moved aside because he's a giant fucking super strong dude, right? And he's like, pushes the helicopter out of the way and starts chasing you. You're like, oh my fucking god, what is that? And then in the B game, for Claire, she shows up at the spot where the helicopter was crashed. I was like, oh, okay, I can't go this way. And then it gets lifted by Mr. X, and she was like, oh my god, what the fuck is that? I was like, no. It didn't happen. Leon had that. Why is it happening for me? That doesn't make any sense.
The timing.
Yeah, they just, like, completely change how that whole interaction worked. And it doesn't... It wasn't supposed to work that way.
Joe, you're sounding pretty neckbeardy right now.
I fucking don't care, bro.
I don't know. They didn't do it like they did it in the book, so I'm kind of like frustrated.
It's not. No, this isn't the books. Is not movies. This is a remake of the thing that they did very well in the original version and completely fucked up in a way that doesn't make any sense. That it was a very easily avoided issue. They could have done just a small change to, like, when she got to that point. Oh, the helicopter's gone. And there's a fedora on the ground. That's weird. Like,
hear that, Capcom? Listen to Joe. He's
yeah, motherfuckers. I do. Anyway, that's
notes.
My Resident Evil 2 rant.
All right, that's it, folks. I let him go for 6 minutes, not three.
Sorry, I got
6 minutes. To interrupt Joe.
6 minutes. 6 minutes. Six minutes.
When I get going, it's hard.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Another
sorry,
video.
We talked about video games a lot again.
Like, comment, and subscribe if you don't want to hear Joe
like.
Do that again. Just trying different things, okay?
Bye.
That's fine.
Bye.
Stop recording now. Stop listening now.